Our Bible reading today is Psalm 95, and it'll be read by Linda and Richard Beagley. Over to you, Richard and Linda, for our reading.
Good morning, church family. The reading today is Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land.
Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, a flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath on my anger. They shall never enter my rest. These are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Linda and Richard. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that in your mercy and grace, you would meet with us as we look at your word. May you, our Creator and Redeemer, speak to us. In Jesus' name, Amen. I don't know about you, but I love getting invitations to things. Well, I love getting invitations to things that I want to go to. So the invitation to a wedding is just such a great thing to receive. The delight of seeing a new couple and all those things, it's just great. And the invitation is such a great thing to receive. And I guess for most of us, we haven't had very many invitations recently because we can't do the things that we would normally do. But in the beginning of Psalm 95, there is an invitation that we are invited into. Here it is, verse 1. Come, let us shout for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. The invitation is to come. The invitation is to come before God. It's a gracious invitation. And that's why this psalm has been used through many generations in many churches and denominations as a call and a guide to worship. But notice this, come. Come into the presence of God. Isn't that an amazing thing that we can invite one another to come into God's presence? Because this psalm is to be said in a sense corporately. It is us inviting one another to join together, to sing for joy to the Lord, to shout aloud. I know we're not allowed to do that at the moment, but to shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. It's a recognition here of the greatness of God that we are called to sing and to shout to the one who is our rock, the one we can rely on. And in these days when there isn't a lot of things that we feel we can rely on, here is the invitation to come again back to the rock, to the one we can rely on, the one who is trustworthy. But he is the rock of our salvation. He is the one who rescues us from death and gives us life. And so hear the invitation this morning that we can come before the Lord, the rock of our salvation. we can come before him with thanksgiving. Well, why should we accept the invitation? If there is an invitation, the second question we want to know is, why should we bother to accept the invitation? You know, that's always the question, isn't it? If we're invited to something, are we going to accept the invitation or are we going to say no? And the psalmist tells us why we should accept the invitation. So firstly, we've seen the invitation. Secondly, the reason to accept the invitation. Verse 3, for the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. The first reason we should accept the invitation is because God is great. For the Lord is the great God, the King above all kings. There is no one greater than him. There is no one who gets anywhere near him. I don't know who your hero is, who you'd most like to meet. But if you had an invitation from them, my guess is you would find it very easy to accept that invitation. But here the invitation is from the great God, the great King above all gods. He is the one who we are invited to come before. And there can be no one better to be before, no one better to enjoy time with. But he is not just the great God, he is the Creator God. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. In his hand, that's how great he is. You can fit it in his hand. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Now the psalmist is very clear here that actually in picking these things, he emphasizes firstly that the creation is God's in his hands. They belong to him. He is the creator. But in picking the depths of the earth, the mountain peaks, it's the low and the high, isn't it? And picking the sea and the dry land, he's saying, look, all of creation, every part of it belongs to this God. The invitation is to come before him, to spend time with him. The reason why we'd want to do that is because he is great. And he is the creator. So how are we to respond to this invitation? Well, the psalmist doesn't leave us without an answer. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, verse 6. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. We come and surrender to God. That's the picture of bowing down and kneeling. Bowing down means lowering our head as a public sign that we recognize the greatness of God. The kneel before is literally to prostrate ourselves before the Lord. All of these, the bowing down, the kneeling, are a sign that we recognize that God is great, that our Creator is great, that what we must do is surrender to him. In the Church of England, there's a funny thing that you're ordained a deacon first year, and then a year later you're ordained a priest. And mine was in the Diocese of Chichester, which has a really sort of mixed view of things, really. Or it did then, at least. And I was asked, did I want to prostrate myself? And I went, no, not never, ever, because I thought I'd be prostrating myself before the bishop, and I didn't think that was right. And then when we got to the service, it was clear that the call was to prostrate yourself before the Lord. And so some of my colleagues did it, lay on the ground like that, hands out. And I thought afterwards, do you know, it was a very visible sign of surrendering to God. And actually, I regretted at that moment that I hadn't done a bit more investigation and investigated what was going on. The psalmist wants us to understand that we come in response to the invitation to come before God, knowing that he's great and our creator. Our only response can be to surrender to him, to humble ourselves before him. But notice too, we respond by allowing him to care for us. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. If we're surrendering to God, we're surrendering to the God who wants to care for us. The God who is our God. As we thought about the joy of God being great and our creator, it shows us that he has the power and now the willingness to care for us. If you and I take seriously what this psalm says, we will hear the invitation, we will recognize why we'd want to respond, and we will respond by surrendering to him and accepting his care. But thirdly, our response will be to listen to him. Now, I don't know whether you, when Linda and Richard read the psalm, you went, where did verse 7 come from? Today, if only you would hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts, as you did at Meribah, as you did at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years, I was angry with that generation. I said, there are people whose hearts go astray, and they are not have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And you go, where do we get from? How do we get from what was so lovely to that? Because God knows that our response to him being great and creator, yes, has to be to surrender to God. Yes, has to be to allow ourselves to be cared for by him. But it also means that we need to listen to him. In the first word of verse 7, today there is an urgent call to hear God speak through his word. And the word hearing carries the idea not just of paying attention to God's word, but actually obeying it. Hearing without obeying means that we did not hear. Children tend to be one of two types, I think. When parents ask them to do something, they're either those who rage against it, but then often go and do it. But there are also those who go, oh yeah, I'll do it. And then they never do. They haven't heard in Bible terms. You see, hearing leads to obedience. And that's why God begins to speak in verse 8 and 9. Now we're not with the psalmist, we're hearing God speak. Do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness where your ancestors tested me, they tried me, though they had seen what I did. God himself speaks. And he takes them back to a couple of shameful events that happened during the Exodus from Egypt to the Promised Land. And in these events, the people wouldn't do what God wanted. Meribah means dispute and Massah means testing. And in Exodus 17, we see when they did that. There was a sceptical spirit in the people of God. Now, we might have expected the psalm to focus on disputing with God, but actually we see it's the testing of God that is the emphasis. And it's because of the repeating pattern of the people of God refusing to take God as his word. So we see that true worship of the Creator and Redeemer is this, to take God at his word, hearing it, accepting it, and living in the light of it. If we are to respond to our great Creator God, we have to surrender to Him. We have to allow ourselves to be cared for. But we also have to be willing to listen to Him properly. And if we will not, the warning at the end of the psalm is that God does not ignore our disobedience. That if we will not accept His ways, His gift of salvation, then we should not be surprised if we don't enter His rest. This psalm is a great psalm. It reminds us to continue to accept the invitation to come before God, our great Creator God, and to do that by committing ourselves to Him, by accepting His care, and by listening to His voice. As we celebrate God as our Creator, will we respond as He tells us to His greatness? Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for these amazing words. Help us to recognize how great You are, that You are our Creator, and to show that we have realized that by coming before You, committing our lives to You, accepting Your care, and listening to Your voice. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.